I'm sure you all noticed it was a fairly warm weekend, wasn't it? Even this morning lacked the fresh kind of bite of cold the last couple of months has possessed. Rather tropical, as my grandma might say. And as we're still meant to be in the midst of the kind of colder months, the mercury rising somewhat rapidly for a day or two there might seem somewhat ominous given the catastrophic summer bushfires Australia experienced earlier in the year. Now, it's not a saving grace, though there is a likely shift in our climate behaviours on the way. Ever heard of El Niño or its counterpart La Niña? Well, I have, though I haven't looked too far into it since year 9 HSIE, I must admit. But in any case, they're climate phenomena that we periodically shift to and from with South America across the Pacific. And luckily enough, you won't have to hear me stumble my way through explaining it. We're joined this morning by climatologist at the Australian Bureau of Meteorology, Zi-Weng Chow. Zi-Weng, how's it going?
Good, thanks, Jared. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for joining the show. So first up, what exactly is El Niño? What's La Niña and where does Australia sit right now?
Yeah, so you had it pretty spot on. So we have this climate phenomena that happens as a cycle. And what happens is that we see the Pacific Ocean either cool or warm. So in the case of La Niña, which is the one that we are looking likely to happen, the Pacific Ocean cools down. And what happens is we get a shift in the weather pattern. So we get more rainfall moving towards Australia. And that's why we're... tendency is that the rainfall is higher if a La Niña occurs.
Right. Sorry. Please go on.
And as you say, what's happening right now, so currently in neutral conditions, but there are indicators that we are in the early stages of a developing La Niña.
So how might moving from a neutral state into La Niña affect Australia's climate? I guess going forward, how long is it likely to stick around? Is it year on year or a couple of months?
Typically, an event is more like 6 months to a year long. If you get a stronger event, then I could get more than a year. But normally, you look at half a year to 1 year. And what do you expect? Increased rainfall over the eastern side of Australia. Daytime temperatures tend to be a bit cooler since there's a bit more cloud. But nighttime temperatures are warmer since that cloud acts as a blanket. You also do see... increased chance of tropical cyclones affecting Australia as well, and earlier monsoon onset.
Right, so it's not necessarily all positive. I guess when you say cooler day temperatures and potentially more rainfall and this, that, the other, we might look forward to it seeing as that we've had extremely dry summers, I suppose, the last couple of summers. Might bushfires and stuff like that be slightly mitigated by this?
Yeah, you're correct. So like you say, increased rainfall, cooler temperatures, it does tend to dampen the rainfall, the bushfire risk. But there is the chance that with all that increased rainfall, you could get increased growth. And then towards the end of the fire season, if it starts drying up again, so if La Niña starts to end, say, around late summer, then all that increased vegetation could act as increased fuel load for bushfires.
So what about the summer just gone? Is that maybe an example that we saw is, if you said it's about 6 month periods, were we in La Niña, which, like you just said, I guess, promoted growth and then that drying out at the end of summer, being the bushfires, is that what we saw in, I guess, about almost a year ago now?
No, so the previous fire seasons, and the one you mentioned last year, season leading up to it was very dry and very hot. So this year has been much more average on rainfall. So I think as a nation, we're slightly above average so far in rainfall this year.
Right.
So we don't have those dry conditions leading up. So it's not looking as bad as it was last year.
Right, I see. What about, for instance, about 10 years ago now, those pretty catastrophic, like Brisbane floods and stuff, if they're in a more tropical area in Queensland there, and you said potentially tropical cyclones and alike might come as a result of La Niña, is that, I guess, previous examples we've seen at it, there are both positive and negatives that come out of it?
Yeah, so we increase rainfall. Yes, flooding is a possibility. And 2010, 2011, even 2012, that was the last major La Niña event we saw. So 2017, 2018, the end of 2017, 2018, we had a weak La Niña event where the effects weren't as strong. But in 2010, 2011, yeah, we have widespread flooding across Queensland and some other areas, even New South Wales. And Tropical Cyclone Yasi was example of a tropical cyclone during that period. So, yeah, when La Nina is strong, we do see some pretty significant impacts. This one isn't looking as strong so far, but the outlook could change leading into it. But so far, we're not looking at such a significant impact of 2010-11.
So what happened in, for instance, correct me if I'm wrong, but I did just mention it, as far as I know, that it kind of shifts between across the Pacific, so within between ourselves and South America. I would imagine South America is somewhat more of a temperate climate. I know it gets cold in areas like Chile and such. Did they experience anything drastic or something they might not have expected?
Yeah, so they tend to see the opposite impact to us. Effects of La Nina are pretty global, at least around the Pacific Ocean. So if we get increased rainfall, they do see decreased rainfall. So
right.
During that last event, they got into quite serious drought.
Right, I see. What about, I guess, I'm no expert. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. How does kind of meteorology and, I guess, yourself, your day-to-day work as a climatologist work? How do we look at upcoming shifts in climate or what's going to go forward so far in advance, just to in layman's terms, I suppose?
So I think so. We have these computer models that take in all these observations, like temperature, rainfall, pressure, and then we have these mathematical equations and physics that can create a state into the future. So then these models are predicting something for the future. Mm-hmm. And then as climatologists, you're trained to, or you have all this scientific knowledge that you try to reconcile with the models and say, oh, does it make sense? Like what the models are saying, does it make sense? And then that's how you try and access check, see whether you believe in the models and add your own knowledge on top of the models. That's what we do.
Right. So what's the accuracy like, for instance, if we say something 10 years in advance, how likely is it to happen?
Yeah, so those are the long-term predictions. I think the ones that we're dealing with in terms of La Nina or what my job is dealing with are more medium-term ones.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is that I think the long-term ones are actually more easier to predict. So I'm probably more in the gray area where you have weather forecasts for the next 7 days and they're pretty accurate.
Right.
And then heading, let's say, like the first 1 month, 2 months could be quite accurate. But once you get past 2 months, it starts getting more tricky. But then after a while, when you look at 10 years, it's driven by like longer term trends like greenhouse gases, and then it becomes more accurate again. In terms of skew, I think in general, like we do have some skew maps online for our climate outlooks, and you do get right in terms of if you're looking at below average or above average rain, maybe 80% of the time we do get the correct signal.
Is that right?
Yeah, just in terms of the simple metric, if you just want to look at if we're predicting above average rain, do we get it right 3 months in advance? Generally, we do, but it's much harder to say how much rain you're getting 3 months in advance. That's a very tricky thing to do.
Right. That's so interesting. Hey, thanks so much for joining the show, Zee Wang. I really appreciate your time. And I guess fingers crossed that we might see some positives out of the upcoming La Nina.
Yes, definitely hope so. And thanks for having me. My pleasure.
I appreciate your time. Cheers. That was climatologist Zee Wang Chow from the Bureau of Meteorology, kind of discussing a potential shift into the climate phenomena La Nina.